Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you thought this was church and not class. I was wondering how many of you are new here. So am I. Welcome. I was wondering how many of you are scared. So am I. How many of you just want to go home? That's me too. Well, you didn't spend $500 just to come and turn around and go home again. In the beginning, it's the beginning of Bible school, it's the beginning of 2021. It's the beginning of a new experience for many of us. Your Bible says, in the beginning, God. If you know where that's found, you may turn there with me. In the beginning, God. That's the beginning of time. That's the beginning of creation. It's the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning of your life, there was God. In the beginning of 2021, there was God. In the beginning of BBS 21, we want God to be with us. I had a couple other thoughts, I guess, before we get to Genesis 1. This time you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you paid $500 for a chance to play volleyball 18 out of the next 21 days? Is that why you spent the money? Or did you do it to get out of 3 weeks of work? Or to be updated on the latest cool things among our young people? Or did you come to learn, to worship, to draw nigh to God, to be revived, to learn of His will, to encourage others in their walk and to be encouraged? Why did you come? Did you know that you will probably find what you are looking for? Think about it. You will probably find what you are looking for. Well, this is the beginning. What do we need to begin? Who do we need? We need God. God was in the beginning. God wants to be in your beginning. God wants to be in our collective beginning. Genesis 1. I've been preaching a few sermons from this chapter, and I will not be able to condense it into 30 minutes here this morning. So I won't even try, but it's probably one of the more familiar chapters in the Bible, which should help. There are probably at least three themes in this chapter. If you think about it, maybe the one could be, and God said, and it was so. God is omnipotent. God said it, and it happened. So maybe number one is God said, and it was so. Number two, as you read through this chapter, you see things were created and they procreated after his kind or after their kind. There's an order, a pattern, a rhythm, about God's creation. And maybe a third theme is that it was good. I'm not sure how many times it says that, but multiple times it reminds us that it was good. All of it. There was no death, decay, or decline. God made it perfect. When God is in it, it will be good. Under the first one, we know that creation obeyed. Nature obeys, except for humans. Unfortunately, too many times humans do not obey what God says. What about Christians? What about Mennonites? What about me? Do I do what God says? What about Bible school? Surely everything goes good at Bible school, doesn't it? God says it, and it falls into place. Well, unfortunately, we know about chapter 3 in Genesis as well, and not everything does work the way God planned it. I hope that in 3 weeks you will say that Bible school, BBS 21, was good. God was in it, and it was good. Well, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God created the heaven and the earth. We read about heaven later in the Bible. We understand it to be a perfect place. I believe the earth also was a perfect place when God made it. He was the creator of both. Today, heaven remains pure, but earth has been severely damaged by sin. Someday, we understand there will be new heavens and a new earth, and they will be very good, perfect. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. 2021, Bethel Bible School 2021 is pretty much without form and void. Not that there's not been a lot of planning, a lot of work gone into it already, but at this point we don't know much about it. It's mostly future. Without form and void. What does that mean? Adam Clark says, a vast collection of indescribably confused materials of nameless entities, strangely mixed. That doesn't sound like God's creation, does it? But before he got started with it, it was without form and void. The natural world that we know and love has experienced the creative hand of God upon it. And we cannot imagine what this world would look like if God had not moved upon it. We don't want to imagine. In our beginnings, your beginning, my beginning, we didn't hear the Spirit of God. But when in God's good time we did hear, we did sense the Spirit of God, and we listened and we obeyed, we became something. We were no longer without form and void. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Another verse from Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, God hasn't called each of you to be a prophet necessarily, but God did know you, does know you. Let him have his way with you. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of 2021, God is still working in his world. In the beginning of BBS 21, God wants to work in this group, individually and collectively. Are you ready to let him have his way with you? Again, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's not you. You are very much alive. You are not without form. You are not void. But you and this new year are not very well acquainted yet. We don't know much about our future. And no matter how you view the future, whether you're optimistic or pessimistic or a realist, we all need the Spirit of God to move us. Verse, the last part, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Without that, we will be without form and void. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you that you have been there from the beginning, that you know the end from the beginning, that you know our hearts, our thoughts, our fears, our aspirations. We ask that you would be with this service, bless with your Spirit, move us, move among us, move upon us as you did way back then in the first day of creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. It sounds simple, but where's the light coming from? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him, in God, was life, and the life was the light of men. God is the source of light. I believe the light in Genesis 1 was coming from God. Light has continued to this day. Light will be throughout eternity. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22:5. One of two places will have the light in eternity. The other place will be dark. Verse 5 says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's talking about a spiritual light. Spiritual light does not mix with the darkness of this world. Morning and evening, we have kind of a mixing. Dusk and dawn. We have dimness and cloudy days when we don't see the sun. But spiritually, they don't mix. Some of you may be in a class called separation and nonconformity. You may learn more of these things. When God says, let there be light, that's what you get. You get light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man is born with a God consciousness. Every man that has ever been lit by the true light. Those who have not come to the light are still in the dark. The light was here, the light is here. Read verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His creation did not recognize him, did not know him. You know him. You are his creation. Do not reject him. Back to Genesis. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God saw the light. God sees everything. Don't forget it. God sees all creation, and it is all good. God divided the light from the darkness. He made a difference. He drew a line. He caused a separation, a distinction. We could make spiritual applications about the division between light and darkness in our day. Do my applications of biblical principles give clarity to the difference between light and darkness? Or is my life sending confusing signals? In God's mind, are there any gray areas? Is it all black and white, light and dark? God divided the light from the darkness, and someday soon, he has promised another division that you can read about in other passages, a forever distinction between light and dark, the great and final separation. Matthew Henry says, "Let us work for him every day and rest in him every night, meditating in his law both day and night." Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God knows the difference between day and night. He's not confused by clouds or mists, dusk or dawn. God knows. As long as the earth remaineth, he said in Genesis 8:22, day and night shall not cease. Psalm 19, 1 and 2, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Day unto day, or day after day, speaks of God. Night after night gives evidence of God's knowledge. Is one day better than another? Maybe you like sunny days. Maybe you like gray days. Well, your gray day may be somebody else's favorite day. Some of us get tired of rain. Some parts of the world wish for rain. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, that was day one. And the clock moves quickly. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. There's a few verses there I'd like to look at. Romans 1, 20 to 22. And these are not complete sentences that we're using from, but hopefully you can follow along. Romans 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Talks about invisible things. How can invisible things be clearly seen? Of course, man has developed microscopes and telescopes, and we can see things that we didn't see before. How can invisible things be clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made? Well, we don't have time to discuss that thoroughly. Most of us probably live in the country, and we appreciate the creation, nature. Recently, my wife and I were wandering around Philadelphia longer than we wanted to, and we were very glad to get out of there and put it behind us. There seemed to be little evidence of God in that place. We are country folks, and we enjoy nature and being closer to God. Verse 21 here, "If after knowing God, we glorify him not, neither are thankful for what he has done for us, woe unto us. If our knowledge of him does us no good, then we become vain. If we let the light of the glorious gospel that shined in our heart become foolishness to us, our heart will be darkened." What does it mean to become vain? Solomon said, "All is vanity," and he named a lot of different things. When our focus is me, myself, and I am vain. When the world revolves around me, I am vain. When my comfort and pleasure is really all that matters, I am vain. When my life consists in the abundance of the things that I possess, and I am consumed with the accumulation of more of the same, I am vain. If you listen to the evolutionists, you will soon hear their vain imaginations, how that a little change took millions of years and so forth. You've heard it. Their foolish heart is darkened. It goes from bad to worse. Verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." When you hear these people exclaiming about their wisdom, they're actually exposing their foolishness. Again, in verse 21, "Let us be careful to glorify him, give him the glory, worship him, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 104 and 5, I think we heard from that this morning already. It is important for God's people to worship and glorify him. No one else deserves our worship. Back to Genesis. We're not going to get through Genesis 1, but we're going to go for a couple days yet if we can. Verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, and it happened." Why does he say, "Let there be"? Sounds like he's giving it permission. Well, this has been planned for a long time. I don't know how long God worked at planning creation, but finally, he is giving it permission to be and to do what he had in mind. Well, there's a lot of interesting things that we could talk about in the creation. I'm sure that some of you have read books on it and maybe been to the Ark and the Creation Museum and things like that. And it's good to think about those things. I think I'm going to have to skip over some stuff. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good." So we started off with an earth covered with water, and now we have dry land. And it says that it was gathered together unto one place. So think with me, if all the water is gathered into one body, then all the land is the rest of the area, right? I'm going to propose that there was one piece of land. And I'd be glad to hear from you later if you have another idea. But if you read on in Genesis, you get to chapter 10, and it talks about the earth being divided. And that was after the flood. My reasoning is, how did all the animals that came off of Noah's Ark get to Australia and the Western Hemisphere and so forth if they are where they are today? I'm thinking maybe there was one landmass when those animals came off the ark and they scattered to the four corners, and later there was a division of land. And again, we don't have time to go further with that. You think about it and let me know where I'm wrong. Verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." So we have plant life. I understand there's over 350,000 types of plants. I guess I'll not give you the names of those this morning. Well, there's an amazing variety in the plant world. Some of them are seen only by microscope, and then there's those that are up to 300 feet tall. I don't know how many of you have been able to see those. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Plants are found all over the world, from rainforests to deserts to polar regions, even in the oceans. We build houses with plant material, Your Bible is printed on paper made from plants. We eat some plants. Many of our clothes come from plants. And we are thankful for plants. Seeds also vary greatly. Look at your thumbnail. The tobacco plant may have 2,500 seeds in a pod the size of your thumbnail. But the size of the seed does not indicate the size of the plant. Redwood trees come from seeds that measure about 1/16 of an inch long. Some seeds, like the coconut, may weigh up to 20 pounds. I don't know if there's encyclopedias in this library or not, but I'm sure you've seen them at home. I would encourage you to spend some time reading through some of the articles on plants or animals or stars or planets and just be amazed at God's creation. Keep in mind that sometimes the evolutionists write those articles, but it's still interesting to see the pictures and read of the variety. Well, in verse 14, God makes the sun, moon, and stars. And we thought they were the source of light, but light was already here. Sun, moon, and stars, signs, seasons, days, and years, it says. God is a God of order. Someday, time will be no more. Most of us are glad for cycles and schedules, dates and calendars. It would be a mixed up world if we didn't have those things. We enjoy the seasons, the waxing and the waning, the spring and the fall, the ebb and flow of life. God has created all things in order. Down in verse 20, it talks about the creatures in the water. It uses the word abundantly, bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. Abundantly could apply to the variety. Scientists estimate there are about 21,000 kinds of fish. Or maybe not fish, but creatures at least that live in the water. Not all of them are fish. Or it may refer to their ability to procreate. A medium-sized cod may contain literally millions of eggs. Birds are not as prolific. Different species, of course, have different amounts. The animals vary, of course, in the way they reproduce. We live in Wisconsin, and I read that there were 300,000 deer killed in Wisconsin this past year. And I think that was talking about by hunters. I suspect there may have been about that many killed by automobiles as well, but next year they'll probably be the same or something similar. And yet, yeah, they just keep coming. God has made all these things beautiful. Verse 21 talks about God creating great whales. Seems like a bit of an understatement when you think about the blue whale that can grow to 100 feet in length and weigh 100 tons. Of course, there are smaller varieties, possibly at least 70 different types of whales. Whales are not fish. They are different. I won't explain the difference now. So what swallowed Jonah? In the book of Jonah, it talks about a great fish. In the New Testament, it says he was swallowed by a whale. Maybe you should look into it. Verse 22, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. And then we come to the fifth day, or the sixth day, when God creates the animals. We talked a little bit about the animals below us living in the water and the animals above us living mostly in the air. And of course, there are many animals around us on land, an amazing variety. Scientists have classified about a million kinds of animals. Of course, the birds and the fish were included in that number. Many animals eat plants. Some eat other animals. Some become food for still other animals and even for us. Balance, the balance of nature. It's a beautiful thing. God is a God of order, variety, and balance. Some animals become our friends, some our servants, and some our food or part of our clothing. Later in Genesis, it talks about man given dominion over the animals. And an interesting discussion would be what that means. What does that include? When animals get dominion over us, it's not a good thing. You've heard of bulls or cows trampling humans, or mad dogs biting children. These are pictures of nature out of order. These scenes need to be reversed. God has a reason for his order and balance. Well, what about creeping things? Must we tolerate them? Most of us try to live separately from creepy crawlies, but they have their place. Insects can be found almost anywhere. You remember the verse about spiders in kings' palaces. Well, of the 1 million kinds of animals, about 80%, or in other words, 800,000, are insects. In fact, they say they still discover several thousand new kinds every year. Just a few facts on insects. They are among the most fascinating animals on the earth. They smell chiefly with their antenna, and some taste with their feet. Many insects hear by means of hairs on their bodies. Others have ears on their legs or on the sides of their bodies. Insects have no voices, but some make noises that can be heard a mile away. Insects have no lungs, but breathe through holes in their sides. Some insects have no eyes, and others have five eyes or more. Many insects have enormous strength. An ant can lift a weight 50 times as heavy as its body, 50 times. If a 175-pound boy could do as well, he could lift more than 4 short tons with his teeth. A flea can broad jump about 13 inches. If a man could do as well, he could jump 700 feet. Some amazing facts on insects. Well, I wanted to think with you a little bit about the phrase, after his kind. You've seen that phrase several times in this chapter, although we didn't read the whole thing. I'm not a scientist and have not studied into this, but think about the blessing of the orderliness of God's creation. It just makes sense. How confusing to have it any other way. If the duck was sitting on a nest of eggs and one egg produced a fox and another one a snake, that would be terrible. Or if a kangaroo needed to try to stuff a porcupine into its pouch, how unhandy. And you could go on and on with such ideas. God knew what he was doing. We should not question his wisdom and design. You might think about the variety in the dog family, from little teeny tiny ones to great big ones walking around outside. Yet, if they were left to themselves, within a couple of generations, they would revert back to the healthy Heinz 57 variety. Some people have petted and pampered the pot-bellied pig only to discover that when left unattended for a day or two, it returns to its wallowing in the mire. And 2 Peter 2, verse 22 talks about that. Man's done some amazing things with animals, but they are still animals. Well, God's laws do not change. And after his kind will always be after its kind. We don't want to change it. God's way is best. Let's think about that just a little bit in a spiritual way. After his kind. We were created by God in his image. We had a good start, a beautiful beginning. Even today, babies start innocent. They are so sweet. They have no ill will, no bad language, no negative thoughts toward anyone. We are born after his kind. But Genesis 3 comes too soon. The story of the fall seems so near the beginning of man's whole story. We don't know how long Eden lasted, but from our perspective, it appears to have been a very short time. And it's true in our own experience and the experience of our children. We love their innocence. We love their sweetness. But so soon, they develop an opinion of when they should eat and what was a comfortable position and who is really in charge. And for most of us, it was downhill from there. We grew more and more selfish. Until finally our parents realized that our cuteness was no longer cute. We needed direction and correction. Parents didn't like to think of it. How could innocence be over with so quickly? But it was. We are also Adam's children. We are after his kind. Well, God sent many lessons throughout history, many teachers to help man to see the error of his way. Good lessons and good teachers that did their best. Finally, God had to come himself. And when he was here and walked among men, he told the men of his day that they were really children of the devil. They were after the devil's kind. Then he made a way for those wicked men to switch sides and to gain a new heart and to become children of God. And that plan is still in place. That plan still works. And the door is still open to become after his kind, like he originally intended. Well, we have barely scratched the surface on Genesis 1. Didn't even read the whole chapter. And it's a little bit that way in life. We can spend life studying about God, studying the Bible, and we will still feel like we've barely scratched the surface. And I expect it will be that way this term of Bible school. You'll spend 3 weeks and will only have barely begun. I think we have plenty of material to study the next 3 weeks. God bless you as you dig in. It's better than a gold mine. So the Lord be with you.